You know, Jesus said, the thief comes only, get this, the thief comes only but to kill and to steal and to destroy. He said, but I have come to give life and that more abundantly. If it is something that is killing you or stealing from you, right? To kill, steal, and to destroy. If it's destroying your family, if it's destroying your finances, if it's destroying your life, it is not God. He is not teaching you a lesson. That's Satan's job. He kills, steals, and destroys. Jesus gives life, and that more abundant. And we were here on Friday, and we were praying for the fires. And the Lord gave us the word that they would bend back, bend back, bend back, bend back. And usually in a situation like this, you've got some unaware believer Christian out there who's saying, well, this is God judging California. No, it's not. It is killing people, destroying lives, destroying homes. That is the reference specifically of Jesus to Satan. And we have authority over him. Amen? Amen. So you just keep standing and believing. Amber and Summer aren't here, and I would love for them to be able to tell this story. Summer graduated from New Life for drug and alcohol addiction. New Beginnings for drug and alcohol addiction about a year ago. So, and this, she was telling me the story the Sunday that we left on vacation. Amber and Summer were telling. There was a girl that Summer graduated New Beginnings program with. And Amber and Summer were somewhere, maybe Santa Cruz or something like that, taking a couple of days. And they get a phone call from the father of a girl that she graduated the program with. She had relapsed. She overdid it and ended up in a coma. And the doctors are telling the parents she's not going to live, she's brain dead. Okay? So they went over, and they went in, and they asked the family, they said, do you mind if we pray for her? And they said, well, no, that's fine. And they said, you have to understand, we believe that Jesus gave us the authority to raise the dead. And they said, we're going to pray for her. Now, she's going to raise up out of this bed. It may not be today or tomorrow, but she's going to rise up out of this bed, and she's going to live. And they prayed for her. It didn't happen that day. It didn't happen the next day. But on the third day, she woke up out of the coma. She looked at her dad, and she said, I'm back. And she said, Daddy, I'm never going to drink again. Now she has to go back to rehab. But listen, nothing is impossible. Jesus is the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper. Do you know why? I tell Deb this. I say, the reason why I want to introduce certain songs. Why? Because if we can get ourselves saying, he's the way maker, so it doesn't look like it, it's going to work out. But if he's the light in the darkness and he's my way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, then no matter what it looks like right now, it's going to happen, isn't it? So we need to start siding with him because he is the way maker. He makes a way where there seems to be no way, doesn't he? Every time we put our trust in him, our faith in him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for your spirit. We thank you that you're bringing your word and your spirit together in these days for an end time move of God that's going to cover the globe. And you'll raise up your children. You'll raise up your sons and daughters, and you will glorify them with you. And we thank you for it, Father. We thank you for the word here this morning. And we thank you for your presence here with us. And we thank you for testimonies and for signs and wonders, healings and miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Can I tell another thing? Well, I'm the pastor. I can do this. I've got the mic, right? So I've got a guy coming out this week because there's some stuff. You know, I'm not this fence over here, this wrought iron fence over here. If you lean against it too hard, it feels like you could fall off, doesn't it? And I've got to have the eaves up here. They need to. We've got one that's falling down. Come on. and there's dry rot. So I've got a guy coming this week, and I met him once. I've known him for a couple of years now on Facebook, and we met once. So he came in, and this is I told this story on Friday at prayer. This is encouraging, and it helps build faith. What do I want to do here? Encourage and help build faith, because what is a pastor supposed to do? Encourage, help, lead, guide, right? So I'm sitting in the sound booth up there where Jim is right now, and this is a couple years ago, and I'm trying to get that old computer to update, and it's not wanting to update, and I'm running the update program on it. I've been doing it for like a week, and it's not wanting to do it, and I'm thinking, Jesus, I could just throw it out and buy a new one, because we could. We could go out and buy a new computer. But it works fine when it works. And I'm not cheap. I'm not cheap. But why replace them? Thank you. I'm frugal. Why, you know, I choose not to spend our money on that right now. By the way, Verna, Bruce, who gave us the snowplow and works on all of our yard equipment, we picked up his daughter, Crystal, and took her swimming with us this week. And we were dropping her off, and she says, Grandpa, where did you get this cool desk chair, office chair? And he says, oh, the neighbor gave it to me. And he looks at me and says, do you need an office chair? I'm frugal. I don't want to go out and spend $100 on a new office chair. So I got a new office chair that he bought, the neighbor had bought it for his wife the day before, and she didn't like it. It wasn't comfortable for her. And I thought, well, he said, do you want it? And I said, yeah, I'll take it. So it's in my office now. Anyway, back to my other story. See, isn't it nice? God provides. You know, I mean, we're good stewards to the very best of our ability. But there are some things that just need to be done. And so I've got Zach coming in. Zach was raised in a not really an Orthodox Jewish home, really more of a Jewish, non-Jewish home. But he'd been to Jewish school, and he'd had his bar mitzvah, and so he was dating this girl who was a Christian. Now, Scripture says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. She's a PK. She probably knew better. But she's dating this nice Jewish boy. And he's not practicing. And she says, I want you to come to church with me. And he says, okay, I'll go to church with you. So he goes to church with her. After church, they're going to go out and go to lunch, and she says, well, I need to get gas and want to wash my car first. And so they get gas, and she's going through the car wash. And he says, I didn't know Christians spoke Hebrew. And she says, I don't know any Christians that speak Hebrew. Why do you say that? And he said, well, that lady that stood up in church, and she was speaking Hebrew. She was praising the Lord. She was praising God in Hebrew. And she said, you heard Hebrew? And he says, yeah. What did you hear? She says, I didn't hear Hebrew. She says, I wasn't sure what she said. He said, well, she was giving God glory and praising him and exalting the God Most High. And so she said, let me call my pastor. So she calls the pastor. Pastor says, well, let's meet. And he explains to Zach, he says, she wasn't speaking Hebrew, she was speaking in tongues, which is a promise of the gifts of the Spirit in the New Testament. And he said, really? He said, yeah, really. Zach said, well, I want to get to know this Jesus. It was a sign and wonder, and it led him to the Lord. Anyway, that's who's going to come out and take a look at some of these projects that need to be done around here. I said, I've got a honey-do list, and he's a construction worker contractor. So anyway, that's good. Praise the Lord. This morning, speaking of construction and contracting and stuff like that, we're going to talk about under construction. Okay? Being under construction. We can see a process of construction, building and everything. I mean, since we've been here, there's been an ongoing process, hasn't there, of redoing this place. Because it used to be in here, it was yellow, like organic butter yellow, with brown trim on the soffits, and the platform was brown. And we've still got back there, we've got the gold curtains that used to hang here, and God sent... They're gone? Oh, thank you, Jesus. There's no option for bringing them back, y'all. And then God brought Michael and Laquita along, and we'd had this flooding over here, and they asked about that. And I said, well, I've got some people coming out to do bids. And they said, well, that's kind of what we do. And I said, really? I said, well, give me a bid. And they said, no, we'll just do it for whatever it costs for materials. And I'm like, okay. And they finished, and they're painting the hallway. They said, well, what color do you want to paint the hallway? Because it was the same butter yellow. And I thought, well, surely we were just planning on painting it the butter yellow. And they said, well, what color do you want to paint the office and the hallway? And I said, I don't remember what color it is. It's Swiss mocha or something like that. Let's do the Swiss mocha that's in my office. Well, okay. And they painted that, and they're getting to the end of the hall, and Laquita calls, and she says, did you want to paint the sanctuary? I said, like nobody's business, baby, like nobody's business. So I'm telling you, they have been here just over a year, haven't you? Year and a half. And can I tell? It's not a secret, right? Well, they just finished the doors. They are, and we want to have a big party for you guys before you go. So you have to give us a Sunday that's going to be your last Sunday here. They were meeting with some friends of theirs that are moving to Cleveland, Tennessee. Went out and had dinner with them, and the friends said, "We're moving to Cleveland, Tennessee, and the Lord told us that you're supposed to move there too, and we're going to buy you a house." And they said, "Well, we have to pray about that. That's a big commitment." And they've got their grandkids here. Who wants to leave their grandkids? Nobody. So they go out to dinner a couple nights later. I don't know the exact timing on this, but it's a few nights later. And their granddaughter says to them, "We're moving to Cleveland, Tennessee." And they're like, "What? But your mom and dad just bought that house." "Yeah, well, they're looking at houses in Cleveland, Tennessee. They're going to move to Cleveland, Tennessee." And because their thing was, well, we don't want to move. You know, if our grandkids are going to be here, we don't want to move. So God is buying them a house. They're going to go into a house flipping business with the guy who's buying them a house. Their grandkids and daughter and son-in-law are moving to the same town. 30 minutes away. Come on. They came here, and they have Michael used to weigh 800 pounds, and he sweated all of it away making this. I'm just teasing. No, but they have put so much blood and sweat equity into building these doors, man. I mean, Michael cut down metal frames because all of this used to be glass doors. And there's still glass doors behind the bottom ones there that are screwed together and we can open, because ultimately we'd like to have a baptismal over there behind there. And Michael was going to do that, but he doesn't have time. But we're all under construction, and if you've been here for a while, you see it's an ongoing process. It doesn't happen overnight. And as we're going through the process as believers, you can see the process in your own life. And we can look at the process of construction in the Bible. When God first came on the scene, the earth was formless and void. There was nothing. It was like a blob of Play-Doh that needed somebody to do something with it. And God began to speak to it. And he didn't just come and just create man and put man in the middle of the blob. But he began to construct something for man. He made a planet. He formed it. He called light to be. He caused the earth to rise up out of the seas. He caused greenery, trees and plants to be on the earth. Then he created animals. It was a process. God is going through a process. He didn't just click his fingers or, you know, what is it, you know, the bewitched with the nose or, you know, genie, and just poof, everything was there. He developed it. And then he gave man the job of developing it even further, to tend to the garden, to keep the garden. It's an ongoing process. Every single one of us is an ongoing process. If God had created man on day three, what would that man have eaten? Nothing. There wasn't anything. There wasn't anything then. There's a process. He wanted to build a nation. He didn't just go and grab, you know, some, you know, the Hittites and say, "I'm going to make a great nation out of you." No, because they were already a nation. They were already a people, but he found one person who would be obedient to him. Now, it didn't look like it, did it? I love Abraham. He's the father of faith. But did he mess up or what? Come on. In the process, we mess up. We make bad choices. We make the wrong decisions. No, she's not my wife. She's my cousin, my sister. Well, they were half-brother and sister. It was okay back then. But Abraham told Pharaoh, she's not my wife, she's my sister. Pharaoh was going to take her as his own wife. Come on, she's in her 70s, ladies. And she was so beautiful that Pharaoh wanted her for his wife. Age is just a number. She was up there, but she was so beautiful, Pharaoh wanted her. Pharaoh had a dream and warned him not to sleep with her. Then God has given them this promise that they're going to have a son, and out of Abraham, he's going to make a great nation. Sarah says, well, it's not happening. Maybe you should take my servant and make her your wife, and maybe she'll bring you a child. Abraham did not say no. Did you notice that? He's got a beautiful wife, so beautiful that the Pharaoh wanted her. But she suggests maybe you should take on Hagar as your wife too. Maybe she'll produce you a son. Maybe that's what God meant. That's not what God said. God said, I'm going to give you a son through Sarah. So we should naturally assume that meant through Hagar. Have you ever noticed when God tells you something and you start thinking for yourself outside of what God said? Listen, you're in the process. God has grace for that. Because if your whole goal is you're looking towards him, you're trying your best to follow him. Okay? We're in process. We're under construction. My dad's room is coming along nicely. We left and they had just put foundations. Now we've got four walls. You don't want me to do it. I mean, I could pound a couple nails in, but after a few minutes, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore. What kind of condition are those walls going to be in? They're not going to be the kind of walls you want surrounding you and supporting a roof. Especially with a snow load. You know, but now we're kind of at a standstill because we have to wait for the ceiling trusses. That you can't put on the shingles without the ceiling trusses. It's a process. It's all done in order. You can't put up the walls and then put up the foundation. Because sometimes we think, wouldn't it be nice if we at least just had some walls? And so we start putting up some walls, or we start doing things because we're thinking, well, at least we're doing something. At least I'm being proactive in what God called me to do. So if I just go do this. But if God didn't tell you to do that, don't do it. Because there's a process. Abraham and Sarah now have a son. And God's going to build a nation on that son. Did it happen overnight? Did he take like 100 wives like Solomon did and just start having popping out babies? No. There was a process. It took time. It took over 600 years from the process of I'll make you the father of many nations before it happened. God had to put them, he put Israel in a land that they didn't know, prospered them, grew them up, brought them out. Did they immediately go into the land? No. Why? Because they weren't ready. Sometimes we're not moving forward because we're not ready. Maybe there's some things, some doubt, some unbelief, some things that we're not ready for. Maybe that's why God's not moving you beyond where you're at. Anybody ever heard the term going around the mountain again? Come on, I've been around some mountains so many times. I think surely God, you're done with me at this point. Do you know? Because there's mountains and we go around and we're not learning the lesson the way that we're supposed to learn the lesson. We're not growing, and God is patient. This is the real grace. This is the real grace because we're trying. We're working on becoming who he wants us to be. But it's a process. It's not happening overnight. Everything doesn't happen overnight. I like the microwave. When I remember, I'm really dating myself here as far as age, but I remember when we got our first microwave. Our first microwave. And it came, we had this little dish that you could put in the microwave and put an egg in it. And you could push a couple buttons, and 30 seconds later, an egg that was cooked came out. Yeah, okay. So it had been nuclearized. It's radiated. But it was quick. It was quick. And we didn't know. We hardly used the microwave for anything. I mean, we might heat some water up in it or maybe reheat something up in a jiffy. But you know what I have found? The microwave is quick, but it's not good. Anybody ever cook a cake in the microwave? Gross! No, you don't want to do that. There is not a professional baker in the world that makes a cake in the microwave. Why? Because it needs the right process. It needs to be put in the oven at the right temperature for the right amount of time. We need the right process for the things we're going through because God wants us to grow and be well-formed, not malformed. God wants us to be well-formed, not malformed. He wants us well-formed, not malformed. Do you know, I love, man, Fred has the best eggs. He feeds his chicken better than he feeds himself. I mean, his chickens eat organic. Everything. And his eggs are so good. And he gave us a dozen, and there's like multiple colors of them. I said, look, they're like Easter eggs that don't need to be dyed. You know what I'm saying? Not that we do Easter eggs anymore, but, you know, they're just blue and pink, and they're so pretty, and they're so tasty. And so this morning, I've got my spring mix of lettuce, and yeah, for breakfast. It's good. And some grape tomatoes and some avocado oil and a couple of fried eggs with runny yolks on the salad. It makes like a dressing on the salad, and it's warm, it's good. I know it's not for everybody. Neither is broccoli. We love broccoli. It is so good for you. But there's a time, you know, if I just take those eggs and I stick them in the microwave, they're not going to be good. They're not as good as a fried egg. They're not as good as pan poaching. They're not as good if you cook them and take the time and make the mess with the other pan. But there's a process, and sometimes the process is messy, and we think, well, I don't really like the process anymore. But the process is the most important part. Because it's in the process that we're learning our dependence on God. It's in the process we're learning that he has grace for us. It's in the process that we're learning that other people are in the process. And they may not be where you are, but you're not where they are in some areas either. So try not to judge them for not being where you are in a certain area, because in other areas, they might be beyond the process. So we need to have grace for each other in the process. I say this all the time. Years ago, and we'd be praying and praying in tongues, because I pray in tongues. I know you know that. We're praying in tongues, and I'd be like, praying in tongues, and I went, broken dishes, broken dishes, broken dishes. I'm like, what is broken dishes, broken dishes, broken dishes? What is broken dishes? I said, we are all broken dishes. Every single one of us is broken, and every single one of us needs to be repaired, and every single one of us needs to be put on the potter's wheel, and every single one of us needs to have repairs. Everybody has seen, probably by now, you've seen about the Japanese tea kettle. It gets a crack, and they fix the crack. They don't get rid of it. They repair it. And the tea kettle, over years, begins to take on the characteristic, and it has these beautiful lines where it's been cracked and repaired, because the kettle is important. It's not a throwaway society. Believers are not throwaway. We have a process, and every single one of us is going through the process. And every single one of us has parts of us that need to be fixed. Not everybody has the same things that need to be fixed, but every single one of us is going through the construction process. We're under construction. God's working on us. Nobody, listen, you can get upset because somebody does certain things. Stop it. Maybe they're not just exactly like you, but they're under process. Your way is not the highway or no way at all. My way is not the highway or no way at all. Man, that's a hard one to learn. Because I like things a certain way. Not everybody does the things I like the same way. But I'm not going to judge people. You know, you close the closet doors the wrong way. When I walk by, I fix them. You turn off the light switches the wrong way. When I go by, I fix them. Every single one of us. Look, we are all broken dishes. Every single one of us is in the process. Every single one of us is going through things. We have to keep our end goal in sight. What is the vision for your life? Don't look at me and say, oh, I want to be a pastor. No, that may not be your call. Verna is a pastor, but she's not up here preaching because she's not a preaching, teaching pastor. But when somebody's not around, Verna calls. Verna is always going out and finding people that need attention. Diane does the same thing. She goes and she checks on people. Why? Because it's in her heart. Come on. Teachers. We have several people here in the church that are given to teaching. Does that mean they're called to pulpit teaching? Not necessarily. Bible studies, maybe. One-on-one. Lots of people are called to one-on-one teaching because it's exhortation and edification and building up of the church. It's important. No one gift is more important than another. Philippians 3:14 says that we are to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. There's a high calling for every single one of us to move towards. You may not feel like you've got a high calling, but the calling that God has on you is a high calling in his eyes. Why? Because you're called to a higher place. We're all called to a higher place. God has a call on you, and the high call in that is when you reach that place, when you're ascending to that position, when you're ascending to the high call that he has for you. That's the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Everybody's not called to be the president of the United States. Everybody's not called to pastor a mega church. Where would you put a mega church in Pollock Pines? Well, you could put it here. We've got 10 acres. I'm just saying. Do you know? There's a high call for those who move toward the call. That's your high call. As you continue to move toward your high call, you might think nothing's happening, but you're making baby steps. You're putting another nail in the wall to hold it up. You're putting another nail in the wall to hold it up. Every positive step you make forward is moving you towards your high call. James 1:4 says, let patience have its perfect work. Let patience have its perfect work. Now, I started this process of, I'll go to the store if I'm by myself. I will stand in the longest line. At first, I would get mad because I'm standing in the longest line. It's going to take the longest amount of time. And then I figured out, patience isn't just standing there being angry. Come on. Patience is standing there being happy. Finding joy in the process. Somebody said, don't ask for patience because God will put you in places. Pray for patience, but pray that you have the right attitude for the patience. Because everything is a process. And the sooner you learn to adapt, the sooner standing in the longest line doesn't bother you. I've got time. I can meditate on the Lord. You can share, you can talk, you can meet the people around you. Kathy's given to evangelism. You put her next to somebody, and she's talking to them. You put me next to somebody, I'm like, what? You're kidding me. But I'm open. You know, I'm not an evangelist. I have to be okay with that. Because if I try to be an evangelist, I'm going to start doing things that I'm not called to do, and then I've stopped the process on being a pastor. Because, you know, just because I'm the pastor here doesn't mean I have reached the high call yet, the high prize. We're still working on it, aren't we? We're all still working on it. So that's why we should have patience and grace for each other. I can purposely stand in any line now. I can go to Costco, and I've got a cart with 4 items in it, and everybody's got carts with you know, because it's Costco. Some of them have the orange carts with 1,000 small items. And I can stand behind them because, you know, I've got patience now. I can be okay standing there. Dad's room, we started on this. We bought the house. We moved in October, beginning of October or late September. Bought that house. So we're going on almost a year now, aren't we? We talked to the contractor. He said from permit to completion, I could probably have it done in 2 months. So we're thinking, wow, he could be living in his own room in December. Not. Because what they don't tell you is first you have to get a draftsperson. And they have to come out and they have to get all of the measurements and all the angles. And then if you get a draftsperson who suddenly gets sick and they're out of commission for a month and a half to 2 months, and then you've got to wait. And then there's the redrawing of the plans and redrawing of the plans. And then once you approve it, then it's got to go to the draftsman, the engineer. And the engineer has to redo things. And then they have to get permitted. And then you have the contractor, because you don't want to do it all yourself. The contractor goes down to the county, takes the permits. Come on, it's a process. Do you know what? My kids have been sharing a room since December. And they have not complained about it. They've been very good about it. It's taken time. Permits. 2 months with the county. Why? Because somebody let them sit on their desk in the wrong department. Come on. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Because it's stretching you. It's stretching you. This is the letting patience have its perfect work in the process. Can you see this in your own life? Can you see this in your own development in God? Can you see this in your own walk with the Lord? Yeah, I'm not perfect. But I'm getting there. I'm not perfect, but I'm getting there. Have patience with me. I'm not perfect, but I'm getting there. I'm having patience with you. You're not perfect, but you're getting there. Listen, there are people at every stage of development in this church. We've got people who believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in tongues, and people who don't. We've got people on both spectrums of politics. Come on. It's all right. Because we're all growing. We're all developing with God. We're all on the same road. We're all moving the same way. He's not a genie in a bottle. Listen, he's not Harry Potter. He's not pulling out a wand and waving it and making some magic spell happen. That's fantasy. It's make-believe. It's not real. I'm not offended by him. We are under construction. I'm watching these guys as they're building the room, and they take those chalk tapes and one stands up high and one stands low, and they make a chalk tape line all the way along the siding so that they know exactly where the board is on the other side. They're not hammering a little nail in different places trying to figure out. You know, because that's what I do. You know, I'm looking for a place to hang a picture. You know, I've got, you know, 100 little holes trying to figure out where the stud is. They don't do that. They know exactly how to do it. They're putting up this board. They have put up all four walls, and then they're putting up this board, and they're banging on it, raising it higher, because in the process of building it, things come out of alignment. So in order to force things into alignment, while they put the siding up, they force the wall to go where they want it to so that they can make it straight. Do you know, I wouldn't even know to do that. You don't want me building anything for you. It's not my call. It's not what I'm gifted at. It's not what I can do. Every person has something that they can do. In the process, the devil's going to come along and he's going to say, boy, you're a mess. You just keep messing it up. Look at you. You messed up again. You're never going to make it. You're never going to do it. Why don't you just quit? Well, that's the devil. Tell him to shut up. It's okay, you can tell him to shut up. When he says it's never going to happen, listen. Have you ever seen an iceberg? A real iceberg? How much of the iceberg do you see? Very small fraction, 10%, maybe less in some cases. Where's the rest of it? It's hidden underwater. People see a little bit of your life. You see a little bit of your life. But God is looking at all of the stuff going on in the process, and he sees the bigger picture. And he's looking at you, and he's saying, in order for you to stand upright, we need to do this. In order for you to make it, you're going to have to go through this. In order for you to really succeed in this area of your life, you're going to need to let me do something. It took over 600 years from the time that God said, I'm going to make a nation out of you, before they were a nation. It took 25 years. Come on. 25 years from I'm going to make you a nation in before they even had a son. Peter, on this rock, I'm going to build my church. Rebuked Jesus to his face. He did. He rebuked Jesus. Let it not be, Lord. Jesus on the cross. I don't know him. Never met him. I don't know him. This is the man. He says, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour and pray? He's going to build the church on this kind of guy. Come on. Are you that kind of person? Can you pray with me 1 hour? Lord, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Come on. If he can build the church on the revelation that Peter had that Jesus was the Christ, then he can build on you. But you have to be patient with yourself. You have to have grace for yourself. You have to have grace for others. Still, Paul, on the road to Damascus, he was a Pharisee, he was a rabbi, trained under the great Gamaliel. He has a revelation, gets a vision. How long did it take him from the time that he had a revelation and received Jesus as his Lord to the time that he went into the mission field? He said, I was in Samaria, in Syria, for 14 years and spoke to no one, but only consulted the scriptures. 14 years. It didn't happen overnight, even for Paul. If it's not going to happen overnight for Paul, who stood there holding the jackets of the men who were stoning Stephen, come on. At least you never held the jackets of someone stoning someone. Right? Well, if you have, I don't want to know. That's between you and God. Come on, give yourself a break. You're under construction. It's not a microwave. It's not Jiffy Pop popcorn. Your life is value. Your process has value. What you're going through has value. Why? Because you have value to him. What he's called you to has value. Amen? Heavenly Father, we just come right now in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the process. We thank you that we're all just under construction. And that you have so much grace for us. So much mercy for us. Help us to have grace and mercy for ourselves and for others as we go through the process together. We love you. We worship you. We thank you for your word. And Father, I speak a blessing over every person here that they would have greater increase, greater income, greater jobs, greater opportunities for every person at the Ridge Church. We speak health and life and wholeness. I pray just like John did, Lord, that they may prosper and be in health even as their souls prosper. In Jesus' name, amen.